Just to let you guys know, Hanzo Gracie loves the jiu-jitsu geeks. Extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast. I've been out for a little while, and E.T. and Brian have done a few without me, but my law firm of Brenneman and Braggs are going to contact them about that. They're on their unofficial podcast, so we'll get that straight. But anyways, guys, today we are we're excited to have Andy Hung with us from Dojo Outfitters in Portland, Oregon. And Andy has a long history in judo and then transitioned into jiu-jitsu and then, of course, opened up a shop, I think, pretty recently. But we'll let Andy talk more about that. So, Andy, give us a quick intro. Anything that I missed there?
No, I mean, you pretty much captured me in a bubble. I'm just happy to be part of this podcast with Jiu-Jitsu Geeks. Big shout-out to Aaron, E.T., and Brian. Thanks to you guys for having me, for sure.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Thank you. Well, Andy, you got your martial art career started in Hawaii, is that correct?
That's right. I was born and raised in Hawaii. And the cool thing about the judo scene in Hawaii is that there's high school judo teams. So just like how there's high school soccer and volleyball and baseball, in Hawaii there's high school judo.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I got my start. Yeah, that's
so cool.
It's very unique.
Yeah, that is, especially in America.
Yeah. Well, in Hawaii, it's kind of different. There's a huge Japanese population there, so people actually, like, know what judo is. Like, when you go back to Hawaii, it's like, I did judo at Trinity High School. People will be like, oh, my nephew does judo at another club, or my uncle did judo back in, 80s or 70s or something like that. So people kind of know what it is there. It's pretty cool.
That's nice. Now, jiu-jitsu's big there now, of course. Helsin went there in the, I'm not sure when, 90s, early 90s, maybe even a little bit before that.
Were you aware of jiu-jitsu when you were training judo?
When I was in Hawaii, I basically only did judo. I started judo when I was 13. My older brother started the high school judo. He's 3 years older than me. So, yeah, I think he was a freshman or sophomore. And I used to walk from my school, my intermediate school. It sounds like one of those old grandpa stories where it's like, I used to walk uphill both ways in the snow to get to practice, but of course it didn't snow, but it was definitely a steep hill. But I used to walk to practice when I was 13. I would watch. By the time I was of age, I think when I was a freshman, I joined the team, and from there I kind of was just hooked. I mean, I did high school judo, and then there's a club that I did called Leeward Judo, and they practice out of the same cafeteria of the high school that I went to. So I would be doing club judo and high school judo. So I did judo. I was instantly hooked.
Nice. And did you first come to California somewhat permanently for college? Is that right? Is that kind of when you came to the mainland?
Yeah, basically right after high school, I knew that I had to push myself to go to the next level. I mean, I won a lot of competitions in Hawaii. I won high school states. I won high school nationals. I mean, I won a bunch of stuff in Hawaii. So my brother and my coach pretty much pushed me, and they said, I think you have something here, so you should go to San Jose State. And that was basically my only option, because the cool thing about San Jose State is that it's located in the South Bay in San Jose, California. But the cool thing is that it's one of the only national Olympic training centers that there's a school attached to it. So as you do judo, you could go to university and get your education. And they're actually very, very heavily, they want you to focus on school when you're there too. That's like one of their things. It's not just a judo school. You go there for education and you do high level judo. So that's why me and my brother both attended San Jose State.
Any notable coaches there?
Man, we got the best coaches in the country. Kevin Matano graduated from San Jose State. He's an Olympian. We have Mike Swain, Keith Nakasone. When I was coming up, during my generation, we had Chuck Jefferson, we had Mike Barnes. Like, all these people are pretty big names. John Servin. We had pretty big names, like people making national teams, people making world teams. when I first joined, my freshman year at San Jose State was 2003, and people were training for the 2004 Olympics. So I walked in as a freshman into like this shark tank of people just trying to kill each other because it was for the Olympic year.
What role did Mike Swain play? Because when I did judo for a few years, and he was always one of my heroes. What role did he play, Andy?
Mike Swain was he did so much for the team. Not only was he a coach for the team, but he was also there for people off the mat as well. For example, I used to work for Swain Sports, selling his sports mats, selling his tatami mats.
Right.
So he actually provides jobs for the students on the team that allows them to not only train judo, but he knows the schedule because he's done it himself. He went to San Jose State. He knows what it takes and the demand it takes to go to school, have some kind of part-time job, and train. So he really opens the doors for people, and it was an awesome experience.
Did you ever get to spar with him? And I don't mean to just harp on Mike Swain so much, but he's always been somebody I love his articles that he writes, and I love watching him, his old footage.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of a hero of mine. Did you ever get to spar with him?
His Taitoshi is definitely still on point. Like I don't know his exact age, but he was still doing Rondori with us, and I actually had the opportunity to do Rondori with Mike, and it was definitely an eye-opening experience coming from a kid from Hawaii, a small school, like to actually do judo and share the mat with people like Mike Swain. It was a huge privilege.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, Andy.
Well, now you graduate from there. And when does judo come in? I mean, jiu-jitsu come into the scene for you?
Jiu-jitsu came in, so I graduated in 2011. So it took me, we always joke I was on the judo path. You know, it took a long time to graduate, but eventually I graduated. But after the 2008 Olympic trials, I trained basically since 2002 all the way to 2008, 6 years to try and make the Olympic trials. Didn't go my way. I actually lost to Travis Stevens on my way to try to make the team. He beat me. But after that, I was a little bit, looking back on it now, I think I was a little bit mentally fatigued and physically fatigued not to achieve my goal. So I was looking for something else. And one of my buddies found the jiu-jitsu program at One World Jiu-Jitsu up in Union City, California. And that's how I kind of got started with jiu-jitsu. But Dave Camarillo used to actually open his doors to San Jose State Judoka because he was from San Jose State as well. So before I even started the program, while I was still in judo, I would still go to, like, open mats. Dave would welcome us, and we would do, like, I was really trying to work on my niwaza with all these jiu-jitsu guys. And that was probably, like, once a week, once or twice a week, something like that. But then once 2008 came around, I kind of took a break from judo and really started to focus on jiu-jitsu. And at that point, head sensei at One World was Mike Fidencio. He gave me my blue belt. And after that, I pretty much got into like this weird phase. Like I was doing a lot of CrossFit and powerlifting. I didn't do judo or jiu-jitsu for like 2 years. I was just doing this crazy lifting. And then after that, I moved to Portland, and that's when I kind of focused more again on judo and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, One World has a CrossFit gym in with it, right? Or they were big CrossFit.
Yeah, they're big in the CrossFit.
Yeah.
Freddy Camacho and
right.
Brad Medeiros, they run an excellent CrossFit gym. That's like, it really bit me at that point, like to do a CrossFit. The CrossFit bug kind of got me. I did it for about 2 years, me and my brother. My brother was, he's always been such a huge influence on me, training partner. Like everywhere that he goes, I still kind of always follow him. It's been like that all my life. So when he started doing CrossFit, I was like, okay, I'll try CrossFit too.
Nice. Now you head up to Portland after that, and how did Dojo Outfitters start? What gave you the idea, and how long did it take to get it going? I imagine that was a lot of work.
It's crazy. People, I mean, the way that it kind of sprang up was I've graduated with a business management degree, so I always kind of had this idea about opening some kind of retail store, and I moved to Portland to open up Portland Judo. It's a judo dojo and a jiu-jitsu school as well. So I was doing that for maybe two and a half years, and I was kind of finding myself. I was serving tables. I wasn't doing what I was really wanting to do. outside of the dojo. Like, I love my dojo. I love teaching my students. But then I won't have to go to work and serve tables, which was fun, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I talked to my head sensei, Roy Kawaji, and he kind of was like, you know what, why don't we open a store? And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And then literally, like, over 2 weeks, I basically found the lease, quit my job, and he really, not only did he motivate me to do it, but he literally, like, helped me pick up the lumber, helped me build a store, screw things on, bolt this, like, he basically helped me build the whole thing. But I just liken it to, I kind of always wanted to do something like Dojo Outfitters. But my head sensei Roy, like, literally just pushed me off a cliff and was like, "We're gonna do this, and you're gonna do it big." So that's why he kind of gave me the jump start. But now it's basically I run it myself, the financial side. I run it myself. I stock the store. He basically kind of just gave me the push that I needed to start, and now I'm kind of just running with the rock.
That's nice. I first found you on Instagram. And early on, somehow, I don't even remember, but you had a little bit of you starting the shop.
Yeah.
Pictures there, and I was amazed because
Exactly. You
took the pictures, and then, you know, I forget about it for a little while, and then I see another post. The shop's up and running. And I look back at the timeline, yeah. I'm like, that was like 2 weeks.
So, yeah, if you find us on Instagram, at Dojo Outfitters, you can literally see, like, there's the beginning of, like, we're outside of the Dojo Outfitters, like, it's empty, the wood's bare, we're cutting the wood, I'm sanding things, like, I literally built Dojo Outfitters with my hands, and I still currently, like, we were talking earlier, I hand print all my judo, my gi patches, I hand print all my Dojo Outfitter tees, like, anything that you see Dojo Outfitters on, I actually hand print it, so when I talk about Dojo Outfitters, I get very passionate because it's something that I love to do. Like, all I really do is Judo Jiu-Jitsu. That's, like, one of our taglines. It's, like, all we do is Judo Jiu-Jitsu. And I made Dojo Outfitters because that's all I really do. I don't even have a TV in my house. I don't have any pets. Like, all I do is train, teach my students, and I love to do that. So every time I have to go to the store, it's like I don't even have to go to work. I just love being there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's the like fight jiu-jitsu judo culture like up there in Portland?
Oh my gosh, in Portland it's great. It's such a I can't really say much about the MMA scene because I don't do a lot of MMA, but from what I see, it's very tight knit. I can speak for the judo and jiu-jitsu side of the community. Every jiu-jitsu gym in the area is pretty much welcoming for every other members to join. So there's a lot of cross training. At least for my part, I see a lot of cross training. The availability to cross train, like if you wanted to go to another gym, it's easy to walk in and say, "Hey, I'm from so and so gym. I know so and so here. Is it cool for me to train here?" And 99% of the time, people will be cool with that. So I mean, the community up here, as far as judo and jiu-jitsu, it's very close knit. There's not a lot of inner politics going on, people fighting people don't like this sort of group of people. Everyone's pretty much united under the banner of judo and jiu-jitsu. And whenever people like go to like we just had Pan Ams recently, happened jiu-jitsu Pan Ams, and it was cool to just kind of watch like my Facebook feed. I couldn't go because I had to run Dojo Outfitters, but I was watching my Facebook feed and people from the Northwest were doing good and people from Portland were saying, "Hey man, Northwest is repping." So kind of just in general, it's almost like the Northwest versus the world. Like, people are united up here. People really love the cross train. And that's, like, right up my alley. One of the things that Mike Prudencio and Dave Camarillo kind of told me when I was coming up through One World was that you train with everybody. You train with everybody not only in your own dojo, but you train with everyone in other dojos, everyone in, like, your city, everyone in your state. Like, you could apply that train with everyone to a worldwide spectrum, and that's how I kind of approach judo and jiu-jitsu, and that's how it is here in Portland, Oregon.
That's nice.
That's cool. It seems like you see a lot of high-level guys doing that now. You see, you know, the posts on Facebook or Instagram or whatever of, you know, Rafa Mendez goes to visit this person or that person, or they come to him, or everybody goes to see Marcelo. They take the pilgrimage out to New York City. It's really cool that you guys have that same dynamic of
that openness.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think the openness is something that, I mean, that's that's what the martial arts are about. Not only jiu-jitsu, but judo too. I mean, if you have this kind of idea where it's insular and you kind of have your nose up in the air, not a lot of people are going to want to cross train with you. So the amount of people that we have here that are humble, the schools always open the door, I really appreciate that. And that's something that makes me really want to stay in Portland, Oregon.
Nice. Well, Andy, you have, through hard work and dedication, you've created a job for yourself that I imagine a lot of jiu-jitsu people, including myself, would love to have.
Yep.
With your own shop. So, you know, when you're at work, you're surrounded by jiu-jitsu gear and stuff. So you got a pretty good handle on, you know, you may not own everything, but you touch a lot of the jiu-jitsu goods out there.
Yeah.
So what's some of your favorite gis that either you have or that you see coming in and out of the shop or brands or anything like that that we should look out for or look into?
Some of my favorite brands, I mean, it's kind of hard because I don't want to, like, isolate certain brands, obviously. I'll start off by this. Anything that I carry at Dojo Outfitters, I either personally know the person that's applying it or I train with somebody that started the brand, or I'm usually very close to the people that carry the brand that I carry. But without kind of isolating people, I do like all the brands that I carry. But I think some of the good products nowadays, like, we just kind of launched the Rebel by Scramble.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys seen that, being jiu-jitsu geeks. You guys probably seen it. It's like a two-tone navy.
Right. Great. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was pretty... People are really feeling that product. They launched the Wave a couple, like, 2 years ago, and I still kind of carry that gi. And people kind of just like to... I think people kind of like the catching the detail that Scramble has. We carry a local brand here that kind of started in Portland, Oregon. It's called Ose, which is Ose Gear. I'm not sure if you guys heard about it. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard about Ose before?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, perfect. So at least you guys heard of it all the way in Virginia. But basically, they carry, I carry shirts of theirs. They have, I carry two types of geese. People kind of like their geese. It's nice that it started in Portland, too. It's not made in Portland, obviously, but people kind of rally around supporting local here in Oregon. So Ose Gear is pretty good. I actually like to carry Fushido, which is a judo brand. It's actually pretty hard to get a hold of because it's from their Canadian base. But they don't do a lot of wholesale, so I actually had to, like, talk to the owner of the brand, Christian. I said, hey, man, I'm trying to open up this e-store, and I go about and I want to wholesale your stuff. And he's like, you know what, we don't normally wholesale, but I like the idea of Dojo Outfitters. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and work something out. So I carry Fushida, their double weave judo gi that people, like, the difference between, like, judoka and jiu-jitsuka, like, judoka love those double weave knees. So carrying Mizuno and Fushida is a must because people just love, judo people love those gis.
Nice.
Nice, man.
I know you carry some books I've seen on some of your Instagram posts. What about DVDs? I've always been really into the jiu-jitsu documentaries. Now it seems like they're all going online, which is awesome because, you know, we're big fans of BJJ Hacks and Stuart Cooper, of course. But
yeah.
But any you carry any of the DVDs?
I haven't really gotten the DVDs yet, but yeah. I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. Like, stuff that Stuart Cooper puts out is, like, it's so inspirational. Like, some of the stuff that he covers and the way that he shoots it. As far as books go, I have a lot of books from Dave Camarillo, obviously. The Submit Everyone, I really enjoy that book specifically. DVDs, I think some of you guys done judo before?
Yeah, I did a style called American Zen Judo. It was out of the UK, but we had a few clubs here in the US. I did it for a couple of years.
Okay. So you guys are kind of familiar with judo. There's these DVDs called 101 Ippon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Those are great. We actually constantly have those, like, on repeat in the store. So if you walk in, you'll be able to check out the TV and see.
It's nothing but a highlight reel. It's so cool to watch.
Exactly. I remember watching those. One of those I used to have on, like, a VHS tape when I was in high school. It was, like, 40 minutes long, and we used to watch that with my high school friends, like, over and over again. And nowadays, with YouTube and, like, 101 Ippon DVD, the people putting BJJ Hacks, putting out stuff, like, even in my time span, to go back and say, I used to watch VHS tapes and Betamax tapes, it's like, it sounds like it really makes me realize how old I'm getting.
I know how you feel. I got a box full of jiu-jitsu VHS tapes, and my wife constantly is on me to throw them away.
Really?
Because we don't even have a VHS player.
That's horrible.
You got to keep those and convert them. I know.
Well, hey, Andy, I wanted to quickly get into, I know you have a school, and, you know, your background in judo and jiu-jitsu. What do you teach at your school? Is it a hybrid, or do you have classes dedicated to jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu?
We have classes dedicated to jiu-jitsu and judo. So how it breaks down is, obviously, I'm at Dojo Outfitters, and that keeps me very occupied. So I'm the head instructor, and I'm the head BJJ instructor, and I teach morning judo classes before I go to the store. So I teach morning judo, I go to the store, leave the store, and I teach the night jiu-jitsu classes. That's my kind of hand. My brother, Louis Hong, and my head sensei, Roy Kawaji, they're pretty much full on the judo side. So they take care of the judo night classes. They run competition training. They teach the kids classes. So it's not to say that I'm not involved in judo, but as the head jiu-jitsu instructor, I really apply myself on the jiu-jitsu side, whether that be going to clinics to kind of further my knowledge or going to training camps to kind of just, you know, test my techniques against people. I have to make sure that my jiu-jitsu is on point because I'm in charge of the entire jiu-jitsu program myself.
Nice.
What's the name of your academy? Did you say? I can't remember.
It's called Portland Judo.
Okay.
It's called Portland Judo, and basically whenever we have a very relaxed open-door policy, if anyone that's listening, if you guys ever pass through the Northwest or pass through Oregon, you can have to Google Portland Judo or PortlandJudo.com. You guys can come and check it out. We always have an open door, whether you do judo or jiu-jitsu. We have classes 7 days a week. We always welcome visitors, and we love to kind of just talk to people about jiu-jitsu.
That's cool. Do you adhere to like the Kodokan curriculum, or do you do like, you know, the kata and stuff like that?
Yeah, we actually do have a kata class, and we're actually very, I don't want to say like traditional, but we're a judo dojo first. So even we bow in for our jiu-jitsu classes. There's no slouching on the mat. People don't curse on the mat. You bow on and off the mat. So because we're a judo dojo first, we do carry ourselves as judoka, so we're very respectful to the mat. I'm not saying that judo people aren't, but there's certain things that we have to do as judoka and as a judo dojo that kind of makes it, I guess, more traditional than what people are used to.
Right, right.
Cool. Well, along with your academy, I encourage folks to reach out to you. I found you on Instagram. But I was looking for a gi. You had some information posted on Instagram to contact you. I texted you out of the blue, and a lot of people would be like, who's this strange dude from Virginia asking me about gis? But you were right on it. The customer service was unreal. You sent it right over to me. I had exactly what I was looking for. So I can't recommend the shop enough.
You have a great blog also, Andy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate both the customer service comment and the blog. I mean, first, the cool thing is that, like, my cell phone, that's my personal cell phone that you see on Instagram and the flyers I pass out. Like, I try and be as close to my customers as I can, because if something goes wrong, I want to know about it. I want to make sure that you guys get the product that you thought you were going to get, you know? So I really try and stay on top of that. And I'm so fortunate to be surrounded by people in the jiu-jitsu community that understand that. And second of all, yeah, the blog, I'm glad you guys checked out the blog. I've been having it for about a year and a half now, actually.
And is there a, are you going to launch a website that folks can order from for Dojo Outfitters?
Yeah, I get like 4 to 5 people asking me like every day, like, where's the website? How can I order this? And what's going on? The thing is, like, it's taking me a lot of time to get the website up. But the cool thing is, I'm kind of focusing more on the brick and mortar aspect of those Outfitters. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel that is what makes it special. The fact that you could come in the store, you could see me, and we actually just got, I hired my buddy Jose. Just yesterday, we had our first Saturday of operation, Jose Tajon. You could come and talk to Jose. You could come and talk to me. And it's kind of just a cool place to hang out. I feel like the interaction is lost almost online. Yeah. Online would be strictly for sales. And I want to actually, if you read about Dojo Uppers, why I started it was to actually meet people, was to meet people whose lives were changed through Judo and Jiu-Jitsu. So I feel like kind of focusing more on the store side, the brick and mortar side. We do take phone orders, email orders, Facebook orders. Like, you could call or text me, and I still ship out. But as far as launching an actual online web store, one is actually built already, believe it or not, but I'm holding off on launching it because I feel like there's so much more I want to do with the brick-and-mortar side.
Well, I'm a testament all the way across the United States from you. You were very helpful, and you didn't mind doing it over the phone at all. I think we did most of it through text. You sent me the receipt right out. So it was great, and I got to know you through the process. So it was really cool. I enjoyed it. So I actually enjoyed the process, man, a lot. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, actually, it kind of got this blog and this podcast all started together, so I appreciate you guys reaching out to me.
Hey, absolutely. Well, I know you got to jump. You got a busy Sunday, and we're going to go get a few more rounds in at Open Mat.
Nice.
We did not even get into, I think we could get into a bunch of other stuff, Andy, especially with your judo background. So we'd love to do this again sometime.
Yeah, let's circle back around in maybe about 6 months when and talk to you again if you'll give us the opportunity, Andy.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I'm super excited. I've been telling all my friends, oh, I'm doing a podcast on Sunday. They'll tell you that I've been excited to do this to work with you guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Whatever you guys need, I'm always down to help you guys out. And I appreciate you guys even helping me out. So if you guys want to circle back in 6 months, I'm all about it.
Well, let's do it. Guys, I cannot recommend them enough. Andy's a cool guy, and he'll definitely hook you up. Andy, how can folks get a hold of you?
Folks can get a hold of me. You guys can call me. I mean, my personal cell phone is 503-703-6405. Try and keep it judo and jiu-jitsu related, but if you need, like, relationships help or financial advice, I can always help you out on that.
Bam, right there.
You can check us out on Instagram, at Dojo Outfitters. I have a personal Instagram, at Andy Maywaza. And as always, we don't have a website yet, but you can contact us on Facebook, Dojo Outfitters on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Make sure you guys just try and contact us. I'll make sure that I contact you back.
And your blog, can you throw out your blog?
Yeah, my blog is Andy Nawaza Life. It's a WordPress blog. You guys should check it out. I kind of have, like, my personal philosophy on there about judo, jiu-jitsu, stories about training, and all sorts of fun stuff. I kind of started it just to kind of keep track of, I want to be able to look back in, like, 8 years and say, hey, man, I remember this day that I trained with so-and-so, or I remember this thought that I had. So I kind of started it to kind of be able to look back on my training, knowing that I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life. So that's why I kind of started the blog.
Also, hey, congrats on your third, Dan. I'm not sure how far back that was. I know it was last year, correct? But congrats on that.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a third-degree black belt in judo. It kind of feels weird to say that. And I was actually at practice this, like, another day. Someone was like, hey, you're a third-degree black belt, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, aren't you kind of young to achieve that? And I was like, I never really thought of it. I don't give a lot of thought about promotion, but at that moment I was like, I mean, I'm 28 and to have a third degree black belt, it's really an honor to be at that level and to realize that people around me have helped me get to that level. So it's really more of a promotion about the people around me than it is about me.
It sounds like you're standing on the shoulders of the giants, Andy. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really would. Just before I leave, I know you guys are busy, you guys want to hit the mat, but before I leave, I just want to thank my head coach, Roy Kawaji. I would be nowhere without him. My brother, my older brother, Louis Hong, I would have never started judo without him. My coach at San Jose State, John Serbin, he was always there for me, giving me rides, giving me keys, whatever I needed. He always helped me out in college. Dave Canrillo, Mike Prudencio, they started me on my jiu-jitsu journey. I would be nowhere without them. And lastly, my loving girlfriend, Danielle Coloma, for always letting me go to open mats and training and driving with me everywhere. I wouldn't be anywhere without her, too. So I just want to thank everybody around me. And I appreciate you guys, E.T., Brian, and Aaron. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you,
hey,
Andy.
Man, thank you, Andy.
You're awesome. Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Hit me on a text if you guys ever need any gear.
We will do.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mahalo. Bye.
Mahalo. Man, that was a pretty cool interview.
Yeah. He's like a nice guy. I hope I would. That's so cool that, I mean, he's right. All the, we order all our jiu-jitsu stuff online.
There's no place we in Richmond can really go other than to get, like, Under Armour rash guard type things.
Right.
But in Portland, they can go to a store and meet other guys from other academies and just talk shop. Like,
yeah,
I wish
that's
we had something like that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I really wish we had something like that here.
And it's not as quick as to jump on another site and put in your credit card info, but contacting Andy's a cool guy, as you guys heard, and I enjoy just getting to know him and talk to him through the process, like I said on the podcast.
I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to bet, like, if you look back, like you said, if you look back about 10 years, you're going to be like, Dojo Outfitters is going to be probably all over the place.
Sure.
A bunch of brick-and-mortar stores, mm-hmm. probably, because it sounds like, whenever you do something for the love of it, it just grows. It's a better fit for your life. It kind of grows, you know. I bet you that's going to happen for Andy.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it. Works hard, and he's got a great shop. So
mm-hmm.
Enjoy talking to him. We'll get him on again. He's a good guy. Again, we didn't even scratch the surface of a lot of stuff.
No, I want to hear some stories of his training. You know, I love anecdotes, and we didn't really get into that. So we'll do that next time.
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right.
Great. Well, thanks, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, we got to throw out our whip. We got to throw out our stuff. What's our Instagram, Brian? You run our Instagram.
Jiu-Jitsu Geeks on Instagram. Check us out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Probably the most updated thing we got.
Yep.
There
Thanks
we go.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.